90.5 FM is WUOG Athens. It is 6:31 on Wednesday for reasons beyond our control. And I hear before we get into anything else on this planet that we have a wonderful birthday to celebrate. So Abby, tell us about that.
My little brother's 18 today. Like a full grown adult.
Oh my goodness. Like, so he's not your little brother anymore.
No,
he's like a man.
Well, he hasn't been my little brother for like 4 years. He's been a foot taller than me for a while. But he's 18 today,
and he's
like my favorite person on the planet, and I love him a lot. So happy birthday, Luke.
Happy birthday, Luke.
Wow.
Thank you.
Luke.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Oh, yeah. Thank you to the Halpin family for their consistent listening to the show. You are one of the few who does. So.
Now you're welcome. Now you're free to tune out.
If you want to get ball knowledge, you're welcome to stay.
Well,
they said
they were going to tune out, so sorry.
So someone's not the favorite anymore, which is unfortunate.
I've never been the favorite.
We have ball to talk, not Abby's psychological problems. So let's go into the college football world.
Psychological problems.
My family tunes out and he just
Me. Hey, I made an official apology last week.
And
I didn't do what I want. Yeah, it was tragic. So
you got to run it back.
We got plenty to talk about, and I'm very excited to do so. Obviously, the first question is, was it a fumble? No, I don't actually care about that, but it was a fumble. So Georgia escapes Jordan Hare.
Just dropped that right there.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. It's closed case situation. Jordan Hare is escaped in a narrow miss, 20-10. Georgia comes from behind, originally down 10-0, nearly 17, until the Dogs flip the script with a strips fumble in the end of the second quarter. And Dogs go in, get 3 points, and then completely run away with it in the second half, 17 unanswered after the three, so I guess 20 unanswered, and the Dogs win and survive a stadium that always seems to cause everyone who's at the top issues. I gotta say, I'm actually not that disappointed with this last week, other than the things that can be controlled by Georgia, I thought went fine, other than the first quarter. I made it up in my mind before we started the game that if we got out of Jordan Hare with a win, I'd be okay, regardless of what it was. And in all retrospect, we kind of nailed it. We beat the spread. The point spread was 3.5. We won by 10.
We actually covered.
We completely shut them down in the second
half.
Abby
predicted the exact score, yes.
That's correct. Abby gets points for that. We completely shut them down in the second half. We allowed 15 yards. Gunnar Stockton had a Superman touchdown on Cam Newton retirement day.
Cam Newton.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Just add to the highlight reel, man.
Just spit on him. I honestly, like, there was a lot of noise that happened throughout the game, but the final product was pretty much what I wanted. If you had told me before the game we win 20-10, I'd say, well, I'm pretty pleased about how that went out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Thoughts?
I wasn't pleased with how long the last 2 minutes of the first half took.
Yeah, that was...
I was tired.
That was unbelievable.
It took 36 minutes. It ended close to... The whole game ended close to midnight. I was tired.
Yeah, Abby has sleep requirements.
One thing I... Sorry?
Just, you have a very stringent sleep schedule. I know that.
Yes, I
so.
Do.
Gotta tell college football about that.
Anyway, true. One thing that I feel like a lot of people online were really complaining about, quite frankly, is like Auburn got the game stolen from them. They had two other quarters to score after that non-touchdown. They had two other quarters and they couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think college football narratives, it's kind of tiring.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we hear this stuff every week from some whining fan base. And it's just the same old. We're just treading over the same things over and over again. And there are situations in which grief should be thrown out there. They should know that, you know, the Zebras should be accountable for certain things. That was not one of them. They should be accountable for how long that first half took. That was
flag in their pocket.
That was so pretty insane. But in terms of the calls themselves, if we're going to talk about the fumble, then we have to talk about the missed offsides.
Yep.
Like, that's egregious. That's the type of stuff that people should, you know, cause, a temper tantrum. Excuse me.
English is hard.
Yeah, it is. English, our first language, but
it's tough.
Not the easiest sometimes.
Yeah, I think we saw a very clear divide between the direction that these two programs are going. And Auburn fans are so blinded by complaints that they can't even see it in front of them. With a minute 36 left, you lose the ball, and you have a team that has struggled on offense inside the one with a chance to get a safety and get the ball right back. And instead, you make stupid penalties up and down the field, and Georgia escapes the quarter with 3 points. Then to start the second half, Georgia is driving down the field for the first time, down 7, still in a very losable situation. They're still not out of the woods by a long shot. And on fourth down and five, Gunnar Stockton takes a quick snap because he saw an offsides movement and throws a back shoulder fade, as he's instructed to do in that situation, knowing that a flag is coming out. The commentators notice it and say, yeah, I think that's going to be a flag. And it never comes. And Georgia just turned over the ball near midfield, down by seven in a really rough environment that they got obliterated in the first half. And what do? They play on, they win the game. Auburn did not play on and win the game. They gave up. They gave up when they felt like they had a valid enough reason to lose. That's what they were looking for from the moment they came into the game. They knew that they were going to lose to Georgia because Georgia's a better program than them. So they looked for a reason to blame it other than the fact that they were better, that Georgia was a better program. And looking for that excuse, looking for a way to not lose as opposed to looking for a way to win, is a difference between these two programs. And it was very evident on Saturday night, and Georgia won.
Bar.
20-10. Anyways, I'm not interested in giving that storyline very much more attention because Lord knows that online has given it plenty of attention of its own.
Agreed, yeah.
So let's transition to next week and do something Auburn fans can and look ahead. Ole Miss and Auburn. Ole Miss comes to town in Athens. College game day comes to town. It's going to be an exciting weekend inside the hedges. And Abby's sleep schedule will not be affected because it's at 3:30. So that's really
good
for you.
I'm going to game day, actually.
Terrific. Yeah. Terrific. Okay, so
my roommate and I are going to go. I'm going to make a sign. I've already got it planned out. I'm very excited.
What's your sign?
Can I pet Peter?
Oh, that was...
Because I'm obsessed with that dog.
I was...
Oh, that
was... did you? I was
I wasn't about to say anything. I was about to say... No, that's a great sign. I would want to get an opportunity.
I got that eventually. We got there.
But I want to pet the dog.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed. You should see my text between my mom and I and my friend and I. It's all Peter Herbstreit.
Yeah.
Because he's fantastic. He's so fluffy.
As it were.
He's fabulous.
Yeah,
he's a good boy.
He is fabulous.
Well, the opening line on this one, according to Vegas, is 7.5.
Steep
for Georgia.
Very steep. That's
Georgia
unbelievable.
Is the lower ranked team in this matchup.
Yeah,
now, Vegas saw the Ole Miss versus Wazoo game and said, well, this thing's said and done. It's not. We have to go play a ball game. I expect Georgia to win handily in this one, and I'm still freaked out by what Vegas put out there on Sunday morning. That really concerns me. I don't want Georgia to lose sight of what's in front of them because of what odd makers are saying about how this game is supposed to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm scared, actually. I'm going to flip the script from last week, where I was very confident that Auburn would not be a problem.
Oh, that's good. So he was right about that. So then if we invert it.
Yes, then I'm right again.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
You're wrong. You were wrong last week because you said it was going to be a blowout and it was a close game. So if you say it's going to be a close game this week, it'll be a blowout. Inversion. There it is.
I'm cool with that, too. That's fine.
What?
I'm cool with that too. To be wrong and have a blowout Georgia win sounds great to me. But I do have
notice the change in priorities, Abby.
there was some subtle shade there.
Go ahead.
But I do think Ole Miss is almost like a souped up Auburn on offense because they have a guy like Trinidad Chambliss who, like my criticisms of Jackson Arnold last week, struggles with downfield accuracy but can very, very often beat you badly with his legs. And that's something that Arnold did in the first half of that game. It was tough to defend him on the ground, and because we were keying in on that, he was able to find some solutions through the air. And I think that the odds makers are putting a little bit too much on the struggles that Ole Miss had this past week against Wazoo. That was a very obvious trap game. Not a trap game in the sense that they could win it, but just one that they weren't looking at all. They were looking 2 weeks ahead to between the hedges. And they crept up behind them and gave them a scare. And I think that that is also partially a guy like Chambliss who has so little experience at this level. And he just wasn't ready for it, which I... Honestly, we probably should have seen that coming, that it was going to be a little closer given the matchup that they had ahead. But I do think this will be a very, very high-scoring game, and I don't think that we will cover, but I think that we will win.
Abby? Oh, great. All right, I'm going to go first then.
I don't even know what I'm going to say.
Yeah, you gave me a look.
No.
Go ahead.
I think Georgia's going to win.
Oh, no kidding.
How about that?
Guys, I don't hate...
She doesn't want to bring down the vibe on her brother's birthday.
Well, they're not listening anymore, so it doesn't even matter. No, I think Georgia's going to win by three.
Three?
I think it's going to be 37-34.
Oh, my gosh. Did you just look over at my screen and read my score?
What?
I can't read that far.
That's unbelievable. 37-34 is precisely my score prediction.
How about that?
Unbelievable. And you were right last week, so I'm feeling great about that.
Interesting.
And you were right about another game that shall not be named, but...
So I watched the Wazoo Ole Miss. Did you seriously not remember what game he was referencing?
Not remember.
I write so many times, Peter. It's hard to.
please. Oh my goodness.
I lobbed that one up.
I just threw up in my mouth.
How's
right
the
there.
ALCS?
It was unfortunate. So Georgia, I watched the Ole Miss Wazoo game.
I did too.
And mm-hmm. I noticed a few things. Number one, Ole Miss is pretty undisciplined. And that's a problem. But in defense, Ole Miss was preparing for something else. And how much do you take seriously what happened last week? I think that you should have lasting culture to emphasize that every week is important, but these are still college kids. This is still a young quarterback. This is a Lane Kiffin run offense, which is very, buster or nothing, right? Like, he goes for it on fourth down. Ole Miss drove inside the 20 on their first two drives and got 0 points out of it. They went for it on fourth and goal, didn't get it. They kicked a field goal, missed it. So this looks like a very different game if those two drives flip in one direction or another. So how much do you take into last week? How much value do you store in that? I don't really that much.
Mm-mm.
Frankly, the same thing could be said about what we did last week. So
right. Yeah, I don't really.
There is a different angle on why I think Georgia will win and cover. Georgia's offensive rushing attack will dominate Ole Miss from start to finish of this game. Gunnar Stockton is not going to be challenged. Because he's not going to be the one responsible for making plays. It will be the offensive rush game from beginning to end, and Ole Miss doesn't have an answer. Ole Miss's defense has been weak all year, and the worst thing that you could possibly do for them is to enable them by taking unnecessary deep shots. And the good news for Georgia's offense is that we never take unnecessary deep shots, because we never take deep shots, period. So I think, honestly, for the first week in a long, long time, I'm glad that we're not going to throw the football downfield. I think that this should be a simple game plan. I think we should stay between the tackles, we should stay resistant, and we should be aggressive in terms of running the football. Be hard-headed about it, get in their face, pull it out in the third and fourth quarter. First half, who knows what our team will bring to the table in that storied first two quarters that we don't know we're supposed to play. But I think we win, and I think we cover. I like Georgia 38-27. Final score.
Wow.
I think we have a couple busted runs that allow for some early scores, and I like Gunnar Stockton in play action. I think he's under center or read option, and he moves out of the pocket, takes a shot to Dylan Bell, or to Zachariah Branch. Branch breaks a screen. To me, the offensive game plan and the defensive ineptitude is very similar to what we saw against Tennessee. I think Tennessee is the same exact situation on defense as Ole Miss is. So I expect us to score a lot of points, and I think that our defense is ready, which is weird to say because they haven't been all year. So, but I'm buying in. So Georgia covers, Georgia wins 38-27 on my part, 37-34 from the other traders.
Drinking the Kool-Aid.
We did the traders. We picked Georgia.
Yeah, not enough. Let's quickly move through the rest of the college football slate. There's another interesting game happening across the road. The Tennessee Volunteers are headed to Tuscaloosa in the third Saturday of October, and thank goodness it's actually being played on the third Saturday in October, because that is not a consistency in this rivalry.
It's also not being played at the same time as our game.
Amen.
Which is great.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So Alabama comes in with a, get this, 7.5-point favorite over the Volunteers, who have looked, frankly, very shoddy since they played Georgia. Their defense is bad. It's bad. That being said, I think their defense is actually equipped to handle Alabama's approach to offense, given that Jam Miller is not at his healthiest.
Yeah, he's questionable. I don't know if he's going to play.
Yeah. He's. I think if he does play, he doesn't play more than 20 snaps. I expect it to be a moving cycle of running backs. I think Tennessee has a lot better chance than Vegas is giving them credit for.
I agree.
So really,
That makes three of us. Incredible.
How about that?
See what happens when Kyle's not
that?
Here.
Harmony, unbelievable.
Alabama's secondary is suspect. So
I'm with you. I think it's going to be another barn burner. I think this is going to be a very, very entertaining game. But I do think that overall, Bama just has more talent on the offensive side, and I think it's going to be kind of a similar game to the one that we played against them a year ago, where it just seemed like every drive was producing a trip to the end zone. But I think Bama takes it in a thriller. I think I've got them 42-40.
Goodness, I don't even have a score prediction.
That high scoring?
I think it will be.
I don't like Tennessee in upset, but I like them to cover the point spread.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think they definitely cover.
Tennessee, I think it's a little bit lower scoring than that. Give me 38-35. Alabama pulls it out.
They're up there too, then. Yeah.
35-30, Alabama.
30. We're coming out with some weird scores in this one.
Who cares?
Here's a sentence that's never been said in the history of college football. Vandy versus LSU is going to be an interesting game.
That's not where I thought you were going with that.
Vandy comes in to this game against number 10 Louisiana State University as a 2.5-point favorite.
I think the odds makers are...
I don't use this phrase,
but I think they're drinking the Kool-Aid a little too much. On Vandy.
I'm actually all in. Vandy plus the points. Vandy wins. Vandy wins by 10. LSU's defense is not enough for them this week. Diego Pavia was a step away from taking down the Tide in Tuscaloosa. They will be ready for this one. And just they had a bye week to rework some things after the Alabama game. Cedric Van Pran, I think. Or no, not no, that's not.
That's a dog.
That's a dog. Cedric, what's his name? Their running back.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with Vandy running backs.
Their running back, spectacular. He had just 5 rushes in the Alabama game, 75 yards, and I think both touchdowns. If they had included him more in the game's mindset instead of trusting Pavi all the time and allowed it to be... I see Cedric Alexander, I think is his name. It will be a very exciting game. Garrett Nussmeier, I was so excited about him coming into last season. He has been nothing but a disappointment. This offense is bad. I don't care how much Brian Kelly stops people and reporters asking about it. It is a terrible offense. It has not been what we expected it to be. They're on the road. I like Vandy coming out of the bye week, win and cover by 10.
I don't know. I think this is going to be not a very fun game to watch, but I think being in Death Valley helps them out.
They're not in Death Valley.
They're in Nashville.
LSU's on the road.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How do
you think Vandy's going to be a 2.5-point favorite in Death Valley? Not gonna
It's because next week there's a big game in Death Valley. A&M comes to go.
All right, yeah. It'll be the Commodores' home stadium.
Wow.
Not that impacts much.
I might have to change it then. I think it does, because I think that environment is very unique in college football. But before that miscalc there, I had LSU in a close one, 20-13. But I don't know. I think this LSU defense is very different than anything Vandy's faced so far.
True.
And I think that they're going to need some heroics from Pavia if they want to win this one, because it's going to be very low scoring, and I don't think that's a hot take.
20-14, Vanderbilt.
There we go. So we all have Vandy
covering. Yes.
How about that? Here's one that I didn't expect. When I was looking at lines worth talking about this week, Georgia Tech is on the road at Duke.
Go Duke!
Duke is a 1.5-point favorite. They're 4-2 on the year. Georgia Tech is undefeated and number 12 in the country. It is a noon kickoff, and Duke favored against the Yellow Jackets.
It opened at 2.5.
It did.
Did it really?
That's what I'm looking at right
Goodness
now.
Goodness gracious. That's ridiculous.
Good.
Georgia Tech does not deserve that. No offense. No, like, I don't want to be like a Georgia fan supporting Georgia Tech, but I actually really like this program, and they deserve a lot more respect than they're getting. I think that they'll be in the ACC championship, and they might have a shot at winning, because Miami might be tired on 3 weeks on the road. They close out their season with 2 weeks on the road. I think Georgia Tech could pull off an upset. I think Georgia Tech is among the best teams in the country right now. I don't know why. I can't think of a possible angle as to why Duke is favored in this one.
Because they're Duke.
Okay. There you go. So,
before
moral
I'm wrong
superiority.
Again, where is this game?
It's in Duke.
Okay.
It's in Durham, North Carolina.
I was right this time.
There you go.
I've got a feeling about this game.
Really?
I don't know why. It's just a gut check for this one, because I'm a big fan of the coaching staff that they have over there, because it always seems like they pull out big wins in spots where they absolutely should have no business doing that. Brent Key and his staff do a great job there, and I'm a big Haynes King fan as well, because I think the dynamic ability that he brings to any game plan is so unlike anyone in college football. But I've just got a feeling about this game. I think Duke blows them out. I don't know why.
Blows them out?
I think it's like a 2-3 score game.
And I
think they're getting a little underrated right now, because the record difference this early in the season, people think that GT's shiny undefeated record is a little better than it is. I would say that their biggest wins are aging worse and worse as the season goes on. That Clemson win was a huge one, and now Clemson they're obviously not the same as they were. And the game against Wake, and that's one of those where Wake is not a very good team, and they went down to the wire with them, and I think Duke might be their toughest matchup thus far. And I don't know. I just have a feeling that they're not going to be ready for it. I think Duke blows them out. I got 34-15 as the score prediction.
Blue Devils by a million.
And I hate Duke. Sorry. but
astounded by these takes.
This is not a biased take.
Just astounded. The Scarlet Knights are hosting the Damaged Ducks. We'll
they
see
are.
If Rutgers can pull it
They're
off.
They're going to lose really bad.
Oregon's line is 17.5 on
what?
That one. Yeah. And the last one that I think is really notable, Notre Dame and the Trojans going to head-to-head. USC on the last legs of their playoff run, but they've been a much better team than I expected them to be. Their pass rush is for real. Notre Dame comes in as a 9.5-point favorite. I think that's too high. I think the Irish win, USC brings it to the wire.
Sure. I didn't really put too much thought into this game. I've been busy all day.
I've cooled pretty significantly on Notre Dame. I was very high on them coming into this season, but I have not been impressed by CJ Carr. And I know that he is very raw and has not had a lot of experience yet, but still, in the big games, they've been close, but they just haven't been able to pull it out. And I think USC is going to come into this one with a fire. And I think Jaden Maiva, one of those two, is correct. He's been playing some fantastic football these last couple weeks. He's a super dynamic passer, and I think that this will be moderate scoring, but I like USC in a close one, 24-20.
How about that?
I'll take USC. I don't know. I didn't...
I'm the one not picking the upset. That's pretty unusual. We're going to say this, and I'm going to say this, and then we're going to transition to our NFL talks. Ty Simpson deserves to be the Heisman Trophy winner by a long, long shot. He is the best quarterback in the country right now, and it's not even close. I wish it wasn't true, because I'm praying on Alabama's downfall in a hard, hard way, but holy cow, that kid is talented.
He's very talented. I flipped on him very significantly as well, but I think Mendoza should win the Heisman if the season ended right now. But I'm pushing for Marcel Reed to get it by season's end. I'm going to continue pushing my Marcel Reed propaganda.
But. Now let's talk about something that would be a little bit more interesting if we had both Giants fans in the booth, but we don't. Is New York still in the NFC East race?
Everybody's still in the NFC East race.
Isn't that sad?
Isn't that wild? Commanders
had a chance to push some distance.
It's great for you.
Well, yeah.
Are you going to try and act like it's great for me?
Well, I think you guys are still. I think the Commanders are still going to win the division.
Sure.
It's just that the fact that the Giants are going to finish second is.
That's the prediction.
They're not finishing. They're not finishing last. I can tell you that. They are not finishing last. The Dallas Cowboys are finishing last.
Jackson Dart has a noodle arm.
Okay.
Ooh. Just sorry to say it. That's true.
Did you watch the game Thursday?
I did not.
Okay. He looked great. They both look. Cam Scataboo is the man. Cam Scataboo is probably only going to be in the league for 3 years, so I might have to get a jersey now. But they are such a fun team to watch. And I'll be so honest, there was never going to be a single New York Giant that ever ripped their shirt off on live television with Ryan Fitzpatrick before Cam Scataboo. And I love it. I think it's like you look at the energy of the team and it's just different. Like it's not like it was last year where everybody was sad and miserable because Daniel Jones was the quarterback. Love to see him succeed. But like he brought down the energy of that locker room clearly. And the fact that it's a guy that the head coach can back up and get fined for checking on, like, in the blue tent, which was crazy. I think they're going to get, like, $1 million-plus fine. Like, it's going to be really bad. But, like, the energy is just different, and that's so important when you have the two young rookies that you're going to build the rest of your franchise off of. Also, Brian Burns has been great. Brian Burns leads the league in sacks, I believe. He's tied for first or something like that.
I believe he does, yes.
But, like, the camaraderie is so important when you want to get better because people are gelling. They're getting along. Like, people are having fun. I haven't seen the New York Giants have fun in, like, a decade. It's great. I'm very excited. They're not going to win the division, but, like, they'll make it competitive. Plus, you know, they were the only team in the division to win this weekend.
Thanks for reminding me.
You're so welcome.
So it really saddens my heart to see Abby... so excited, knowing that the fall is on the very brink of happening.
No,
November.
Back like we never left.
I saw her get so excited on the first week that Jackson Dart, and then I was there to watch the Saints game with her, and the sadness that ensued. And then she, by the end of that afternoon, she was making jokes about how bad Jackson Dart was.
No, I wasn't.
You used his name.
She's
like, oh, he looked like Jackson Dart in that situation.
It
was a bad throw.
No, we used Jalen Hurts as the butt of those jokes.
Mm-hmm. At the end
we
of
did.
Yeah,
let's,
but
let's clarify. Jalen
right.
Hurts.
Yeah, no, not
crazy
Jackson
how people be rebranding
Dart.
History. It's just going to be sad when November happens and they lose, and then December happens and they lose, and Abby's going to come so sad to these things, and she's going to have rants, and I'm going to be sad because I'm going to think back in October. over. She had so much hope, but it's gonna happen. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I wish I could take this pain from you, but I can't.
I think we can win like 5 more games this year, which is a lot more than I thought we'd win this year, to be so honest. I think we beat Denver on Sunday.
I agree. Don't buy it. I think so too.
I think we're gonna lose to Philly. Then we're gonna beat the Niners. We're gonna beat Chicago. We're gonna beat Washington, and we're gonna beat Vegas.
Okay, let's not
betrayal.
Let's stay grounded here.
No.
You didn't get to face Jackson Dart or Cam Scataboo, the better rookie
running back. No, we played Cam Scataboo.
The better rookie running back.
So
the better starting rookie running back.
Two upsets on Monday Night Football. One Jack was very familiar with.
No, there was just one game on Monday night. The Bills lost.
The Bills did lose to the Falcons, no less. How about that? And somewhat convincingly, Falcons look for real. And it's unfortunate that this is the one division that is already said and done and wrapped up. The NFC South is all for the Bay people. So it's unfortunate that the Falcons had a good game and Buccaneers are already running away
from
it.
You know who else had a really good game in that division?
What was that?
Carolina Panthers.
So... here's my question. Should
any day Dallas loses is a great day.
No, this is true.
Rico Dowdle. Different guy. Here's the real question. Should Baker be getting more MVP hype?
Is he not the MVP favorite right now?
He's probably the MVP favorite. I think he's getting about as much hype as he deserves. Yeah. This goes against every fiber of my being because Baker has been fantastic. He has been probably the MVP, especially looking at the record of his team. Yep. With what he's done with all the injuries around him on offense, on the line, his skill position guys, it's pretty incredible. But this goes against every fiber of my being. I think Dak Prescott's and I do not like Dak Prescott as a
both of you are wrong, and you're rebranding history, which is unfortunate. Who do you think is the top of the NFL MVP
odds? Is it still Josh Allen?
No, it's not.
It's not Mahomes. Shut up.
Are you kidding?
No, it is not.
Patrick Mahomes +200. Josh Allen's +275. Baker Mayfield comes in third at +325.
That's crazy.
And then there is a huge, and I mean huge, drop off.
Is Daniel Jones
Jared Goff at 4 at 1,500, tied with Drake May at 1,500. Matthew Stafford next behind him at 1,600, and then Jordan Love at 1,800.
Daniel Jones isn't in there?
Oh my gosh.
He is not.
He should be up there too. Which is insane to say.
Patrick Mahomes.
That's insane.
All the discourse of like real ball knowers are saying that it's Baker, but the fact that the odds makers are putting Mahomes there with a 3-3 record.
Here's what you're forgetting. What Baker's doing looks a little Mahomey. And it's type of stuff we've seen out of Patrick Mahomes.
The Mahomes stuff is like stuff like we've seen out of Patrick Mahomes. Crazy.
I'm just using actual
Patrick
quotes
Mahomes
from
should
NFL
be
commentators.
Nowhere near the number one spot right now. There's like 6 or 7 guys that you just mentioned that should be.
I was
be,
waiting for it.
That should be up there.
So that brings us to the top of the hour. I guess the big takeaway from today's show is that we disagree with Vegas about everything, top to bottom. Period.
We know more than Vegas.
Game over. We should be odd makers. Dogs by a million.
Always.
Wreckers in a big upset. Against Oregon. Now I'm going to take it back.
No!
Oregon beats Rutgers by a good large amount. Tennessee takes down the Tide, and the ensuing chaos allows for the Giants to somehow come in second in the NFC East. All right, we hope you all have a wonderful night, and be safe, and go Dogs!
Go Dogs!